Friends, last week I began my homily by talking about Corey Cooper and Christina Jackson, the two young people who were killed in that car accident and the funeral that was held over here. Ever since the accident and the funeral, I have been in touch with the families, merely to keep in touch with them, comfort them. I spoke to the parents again. But I also thought part of my ministry should be also reaching out to Robert Finkley, the man who actually caused the accident. So last Thursday, I made a visit to the jail, and I spoke with Robert Finkley for about half an hour. He did not know I was coming, who I was, or what to expect. When he came to the window to talk with me, he came with a Bible in his hands. The man I met was unspeakably regretful and filled with inexpressible sorrow. He wanted me to convey to the families how sorry he is for what has happened. And I said to him, "This was a mistake, wasn't it?" And he said, "Was more than a mistake." I have seen hopelessness and despair before, but this is a different kind of hopelessness, a different kind of despair on both sides, the families. What can anyone say to somebody who's lost their child in an accident? Or what do you say to the victim who caused the accident? Both of these present great sorrow and great despair and hopelessness. Before I left the jail, I asked Robert Finkley not to give up on God, not to give up faith, and not to lose hope. The reason I begin with such stories of despair and tragedy and hopelessness is, in some way, I think we can connect to the people of Israel, who were also, because of the exile in Babylon, facing hopelessness and despair. And that was last week's reading. Remember, I said these people, while they were in exile, they did three things. They stepped back, they examined their lives, and they prayed for renewal. Today's readings are a continuation of where we left off last week. Because the people were ready to be clay in the hands of the potter, who's God, because they were ready to ask, ready to allow God to come into their lives in a totally new way, God finally comes through for his people. The exile is about to end. So in today's readings, this is what I want to do at the homily. The way I read the readings, I think God is now, as a response to the people, presenting them three things. First, he presents them comfort. Second, he presents them a challenge. And third, he presents them a responsibility. In today's homily, I want to talk about each of those three things. First, God offers comfort. The exile is ended with these words from the prophet Isaiah. God says through him, comfort, give comfort to my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her service is at end. Indeed, she has received double for all her sins. For the people of Israel, comfort came because after 40 years of exile, they finally said, God has not forgotten us. The very fact that they realized God is even speaking back to them, responding to them, that presence of God, the words of God, that itself was comfort. As I said over the last week, I have been trying to reach out to the families that have faced tragedy. Yesterday, when I spoke to one of the families, they said to me, Father, could you pray while I put this phone on the speakerphone? And they got their whole family together, and I prayed with them over the phone. In the midst of tragedy, in the midst of sin, comfort. Just the fact that God is here. Just the fact that God has not forgotten us. And this was my experience also when I went to the jail to visit Robert Finkley. Because no matter how deep our sin, God does not withdraw his presence from us forever. Yes, this man made a mistake, but there's still hope for him in God. God is available both to the victims and the victimizer. Friends, for us, that means that we don't have to face great tragedies or be in terrible sin to be comforted by God. Last week, I suggested in my homily, for Lent, let's spend 20 minutes each day in prayer. Let's step back, I said, and spend 20 minutes each day reflecting about our lives in the presence of God. And those of you who have taken the time to spend with God, I'm sure one of the benefits you are reaping is the fact that you are more aware of God's presence. At least that's what's happening to me these days. Emotionally, I'm a mess. Because I deal with the family and I'm dealing with the victim. Emotionally, I'm a mess. But to know that God hangs around you, that I can count on God, that is tremendous comfort. And I hope that you can face and deal with that comfort as well. Secondly, God presents a challenge. In the first reading, the people of Israel begin a second exodus from Babylon to Palestine. Particularly for these people, for them to rebuild the temple again, the temple in Jerusalem. That is their goal. So they begin this new journey back to the promised land. And before they make this journey, God, through Isaiah, says to them, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The highway is not just for the people. Even though the people are going back to the promised land, the message says, make a highway for our God. This is the same cry that John the Baptist makes in today's gospel reading. Prepare the way for the Lord. The desert. The ways to be made in the desert. The desert is a very special place in the scriptures. It's a place of self-denial. It's a place for discipline. It's a place for dependence on God and on one another. You can't survive alone in the desert. It's a place for preparation. It's a place for prayer. For Robert Finckley, the jail will be his desert. For us, we have 20 more days before Christmas. 20 more days. This is our desert. Time given to us before the coming of Christ, so we can prepare a highway for God in our hearts. These are days for discipline. These are days for self-denial. These are days for preparation and for prayer. Folks, we are in the year of prayerful discipleship. That's why I suggest to take 20 minutes each day and let's spend time in prayer. And so as we travel through the desert of Advent, the next 20 days, let us prepare in our hearts a highway for our God. Here's the ideal, that Christmas Day, you and I can say without any conditions, no conditions at all, please God, here is my life for you, come, invade my life, take over, you are the King, the God, the Master, the Lord, my friend, my God, that we can unconditionally say that to God. Christmas calls us for rooting out sin and selfishness in our lives, but it can only happen if we walk through the desert in self-denial, in discipline, in preparation, in dependence, but most of all in prayer. And thirdly, God presents to us a responsibility. So God presents comfort, a challenge, and a responsibility. After the Exodus is over and people have now gotten back to the promised land, God entrusts to the people of Israel the responsibility of making, not just making, but being God's presence to the rest of the world. Israel itself is called the herald of good tidings. Fear not, cry out and say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. Where is their God? The nation of Israel, even though they were in sin, even though they were in despair, now, having put the mantle of despair behind them, they must become the presence of God. That is the responsibility. We ourselves must become the manger. We must become comfort because we have received God's comfort. In talking with Robert Finckley, I asked him, what does this visit mean for you? Do you want me to come back again? And I don't know what my visit meant for him, but he wanted me to visit him again. And I told him that on Christmas Day, I would come and visit him again. For the families, I've spent hours with them. And I told them that if they would like, I would do whatever in my power to help them deal with the tragedy. And we've decided to meet. Folks, we must become the presence of God. This is the responsibility God gives to the people. Listen, forget about the sin. Forget about the despair. Not that it's not important. But in spite of our sin and despair, God places on us the responsibility of being the presence of God. Become the manger that carried the Savior. So let me conclude today by merely saying that this is a great opportunity for us, the second Sunday of Advent, to take the call of the gospel and the call of the scripture readings very, very seriously. As the bread and wine is brought forward and bread and wine becomes the body and blood of Christ, right now, Christ will come to give us comfort through his presence in the body and blood. Accept that comfort. Take up the challenge. Become the presence of God, the same God who gives himself to us in this bread and wine. May this Advent continue for us, our preparation for our Savior. The people of God said,